Proverbs 24 and verse number 15. That's Proverbs 24 and verse number 15. The Bible says in verse 15, Lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. Oh, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. That word falleth also means to fall. It means to be cast down. Watch this. It also means to fail. Now I want to talk tonight on that thought as we talk about life's challenges, the fear of failure. The fear of failure. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that your Holy Spirit would arrest all of our hearts and our minds tonight. I pray, God, that you would captivate us by your precious word. I pray, God, that in that captivity of mind and heart, I pray, God, you reveal to us some things that you would have us to not only to see, but also to implement into our everyday life. I pray, God, you give us wisdom for the journey. I pray, God, that you give us the strength we need to have to fight a good fight of faith. I pray and ask God, matter of fact, that you would increase our faith and our confidence, not in our abilities, nor in our know-how, but, Father, in your abilities and in your power. I pray, God, to strip us of that, Father, that would hinder us from going forward. I pray, God, that those backpacks that might have those heavy rocks on the inside to slow us down, I pray, God, we throw those things off and then move forward for the Lord Jesus. I pray, God, that's one among us, or one who is watching right now, that's not saved, but bought, and born again. I pray, God, like our brother Patrick received Christ, I do pray and ask God that that person or persons would trust Jesus as their Savior, Lord, this evening. And for that, God, will thank you. Then I pray on a personal note that you take my vessel and use it for your honor, yes, sir, and your glory. I pray, God, you use me, Lord, all of my fiber, all of my being, all that I have, which ain't much, but I pray, God, you use it, Father, for you. And for that, Father, I personally shout hallelujah. And I pray, God, when we leave it tonight, then we'll all be in one agreement, we'll all be in one accord, and we'll all be able to say together, my, how good it has been to be in the house of God, to hear and to read the word of God, to sing the songs of Zion, and to be helped by the Master. And for that, God will thank you. That's it for now, Father. I love you so, we love you so much. We thank you for first loving us. That's it for now. If we left anything out, please, please meet that need as well. For us in your son's name, we pray, Jesus, amen. Amen. May be seated. Fear of failure. Fear of failure. There's all types of fears that you and I face. And I believe that one of those things is fear of failure. And in some cases, in some individuals' lives, even more so than others. But nonetheless, the Bible does talk to us about failure, and it talks to us about fears. Now, this is interesting when you study all this stuff out. It's really interesting. The word fear of failure is also a term that's used in the medical field, well, not so much the medical field, but in the psychologist area. And it's a word, I probably am not going to pronounce it right. I'm going to spell it for you, though. It's A-T-Y-C-H-I phobia, which I pronounce atrophobia. What is that? Well, it's when we allow the fear to stop us from doing the things that can move us forward to achieve our goals. We allow the fear to stop us from moving forward to attain our goals. In other words, the fear has so overwhelmed us that we're almost paralyzed and we do not make another move or another step. And a lot of people face these this fear of failure, and some of us have a touch of it from here and there. But nonetheless, it's a real thing that we deal with, and they believe this is so much involved in this, but they believe it's in the subconscious, in the subconscious part of our being. But nonetheless, my dear friends, if you are facing fear of failure, God has a word for you and I tonight. It's a challenge. It's a life's challenge that we are facing and we can be victorious over. What does fear of failure or phobia mean, hey man? Or what does it do? One thing it does is it ruins our productivity. It ruins our productivity. We're not going to produce. It can hinder that, crush that. But not only that, destroy our dreams. We might have dreams and of doing certain things, but because of a fear of failure, we don't attain those dreams because we don't want to fail as we try to reach those dreams, and therefore we don't do anything. It can hinder that. But not only that, my dear friends, but also it keeps us from building. You may want to build something, erect something, but the fear of failure will stop us from building anything. But also, my dear friends, it also does this amongst many other things. It robs life of joy. Robs life of joy because the fear of failure just overwhelms us. And it's amazing how that can affect us in such a way. We want to, but we're afraid to fail. We got a desire to, but I'm probably not going to be able to make it. And then, my dear friends, it hinders us from having that fullness of joy. Matter of fact, the Bible says that Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. An abundant life, not just being saved, going to heaven, but an abundant life. As I study a little bit more, reading different things about this this fear of failure, I discovered some things that fear of failure can make us can make you do. It'll make you worry about what others think about you. It'll make you worry about what others think about you. If I fail, what are they going to think? What are they going to say? How are they going to perceive me if I fail? I never forget DJ, when DJ would DJ played basketball, he played football, and he played baseball. Baseball, he had an area of fear. What do you mean? Well, in the outfield, he can catch the ball, throw it in. On the bases, he was good at stealing bases. But his fear was failing to hit the ball and striking out. What do you mean? DJ would get up to the plate. You remember this, Dwayne? He would get up to the plate, and they would pitch the ball. And DJ would not swing. Because one time, he struck out. And he would not swing. The coach, matter of fact, the coach was from the Bears. He's from Chicago. This is where we were living down in Georgia. And he told DJ, I remember him yelling from the dugout, swing! Just swing! He didn't care. He just wanted him to swing the bat. But DJ would not swing the bat. He would stand there, and they would throw the ball. And when they were around 8, 9 years old, you know, those guys ain't the greatest pitchers in the world. And so a lot of times he would get a walk. But now once he got on base, he had no problem stealing the base. He had no problem catching the balls out there. But when it came time to swing, he was afraid. Some of us, when we had those family picnics and stuff, you know, and say, let's play softball. He'd be like, oh, Lord. I'm just going to cheer y'all on. And you'll get up there and sweat. All of a sudden, your hands are all sweaty, and you're afraid to swing that bat because it's a big old softball. We ain't talking about no, it's like, well, man, if I strike out, especially if you got, man, if I strike out, they'd be like, man, what is wrong with him? You know, and laugh and all that, and you'll be afraid because you don't want to fail. My dear friends, fear of failure is real. But not only does fear of failure cause us to worry about what others think about us, but also we worry about disappointing people whose opinion we value. Yeah. Disappointing people whose opinion that we value. We don't want to let that person down. I don't want that person to feel like, you know, that I was not able to succeed, and now they're hurt, now they're crushed. And so that fear of failure, it's like in school. Listen, I'm all for education. I'm all for college. But listen, folks, everybody's not meant for college, okay? I know everybody thinks, well, yes, they are. Yes, no, they're not. There are some people who are hands-on. I mean, if you show them, you teach them, I mean, they've got a down pack. But you throw a piece of paper in front of them and a book, and it's like, oh, my goodness. But now you show them. And they'll do that thing. They'll knock that thing out with no problems whatsoever. What are you saying, preacher? A lot of times, there'll be so much pressure on us that we're afraid to fail that it'll cause us to have all type, even health issues, which we'll talk about in a few moments. It'll even affect you in those areas as well. But also, sometimes a fear of failure can also make you tend to tell people, watch this, beforehand, watch this, that we don't expect to succeed in order to lower their expectations. Let me say that again. We will tend to tell people beforehand, before we even do it, we'll say to them this, that we don't expect to succeed in order to lower their expectations. Well, I'm not going to do that great. I mean, it's not going to be really, you know. So therefore, if it is really successful, it's like you exceeded that. But if it's not, say, I told you I wasn't going to do good at that. I told you I just, you know. All of these things are wrapped around fear of failure. But here's one more. And there's many others. Here's one more. We may get, watch this. This is the health part. We may get last minute headaches, stomach aches, or other physical symptoms that prevent us from completing our assignment. All of a sudden, we're sick to the stomach. All of a sudden, we have headaches. And I'm not talking about made-up stuff. It actually is taking place because we have fear of failure. What are you saying, preacher? Fear of failure is real. And people are facing it every single day. But we've got a God that wants us to be able to not only stand up to the challenge of that fear of failure, but also to be victorious. Now, before we get to the good part, I want to show us some examples of fear of failure. Look with me over to Matthew chapter number 25 and verse number 18. Matthew 25 and verse number 18. This really helped me in a lot of different ways as I was studying this out. And I'm actually reading a book on failing forward. It's by John C. Maxwell. Very good book. And it's really, really been helping me. But anyhow, look at Matthew 25 and look at verse number 18. Matthew 25 and look at verse number 18. Now, here's a situation where some folks are given some talents. Now, watch this. And verse 8, let's back up, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man, watch this, according to his several ability. And straightway took his journey. He left. Then he that had received 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he had gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And that's what these talents are. It's not like talents like gifts you're thinking of, but his money. He hid it in the ground. Well, why did he do that? Because of fear. How do you know that? Drop down. Verse 24. The Bible, well, verse 23, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said this. The other ones, they did great, got encouraged and all that. But he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was what? Afraid. So what I did was this. I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. The Lord answered and said to him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I have sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I shall receive mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, take it, and give it unto him which had 10 talents. For to every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Wow. This guy was afraid. If I take this talent that he gives me and it don't work out, I'm going to let him down. So I'm just going to take it and bury it. All right. Then he comes back and says, hey, I got my one. But the other ones took theirs and doubled it. Well, let's switch it up to now looking at gifts or talents, not in money, but talents that God gives us. The talents that God gives us, are we using for God, or are we afraid to use our talent because, my friends, we're afraid of letting God down, letting others down? So therefore, this fear of failing, say, you know what, I got the talent. But that's it. God wants it to expound. He wants it to expand. But that means overcoming the fear of failure. Let me read to you what Rick Pitino said. He's a basketball coach. And this is what he said. Failure, watch this, is good. He said, failure is good. It's like fertilizer. Everything I've learned about coaching, I've learned from making mistakes. Wow. We're trying to go through a world mistake-free. That ain't going to happen, baby. You're going to make mistakes, but learn from those mistakes, my friends, and grow from those mistakes. But don't let those mistakes hinder you from pressing forward. Sometimes we let them cause us to go backward. And because we failed, we're like DJ, we don't want to swing the bat. We just want to stand there. We're hoping that they walk us. And I'll get on base. Then I'll be all right then. Listen, my dear friends, God wants us to swing the bat. But now, watch this. Go with me now to Numbers chapter 23. Numbers 23, fear of failure. Look at Numbers 23 and look at verse number 19. Here's some folks that missed out on a huge blessing because of fear of failing. The Bible says in Numbers 23 and verse number 19, that ain't it. Wait a minute. 13. Chapter 13. Look at Numbers 13 and look down at verse number 27. Numbers 13 and verse number 27. You know the story. The Bible says there's a group of people. They've been sent out to check out an area. You know, check it out, see what's happening there, because we're going to take it. And the Bible says in verse number 27, well, let's back up because they had some good stuff, man, some good food there. Bible says in verse 23, and they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. They bare it between the two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel and unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh. And the Bible says, and they brought back word unto them. And this is what they said, verse 27. And they told him and said, we came unto the land where thou sentest us. And surely, man, it floweth with milk and honey. Glory to God. And this is the fruit of it. Look at these grapes. Nevertheless, the people be what? Strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, them big boys. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. And the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea. And by the coast of Jordan, and Caleb stilled the people, hush, before Moses, and said, let us go up at once and possess it. Hello? Walled cities? Big giants? A whole bunch of people that don't like us? He said, let's go get it. The Bible, I'm about to have a Holy Ghost spell. The Bible says, he says in verse 30, for we are well able. We are well able. We've got the power to overcome it. But the Bible says the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up the evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying this, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land true that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. They swallow people up. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. We were in our, this is very important. We were in our own eye, our own sight, as grasshoppers. And so, we were in their sight. Because of how we saw ourselves, that's how they saw us. They were afraid to fail. They did not believe, my dear friends, they were able to whoop those giants. They did not believe, my friends, they were able to whoop all those enemies. They said, no, we can't do this. We just like little bitty grasshoppers to them. That's how we see ourselves. And that's how they saw us. Do you know that the way that you see yourself is also the way the enemy sees you too? You see yourself as, I'm just a puny little Christian. We'll never make it. You know, we just got to, you know, let's just move on. That's how he sees you. Oh, yeah. It's like when I was growing up on the West Side. Where I was growing up, if you see a bunch of guys standing down there, and man, the worst thing you can do is cross the street. You cross the street, you're done. You are done. You know what you do? You throw your chest out, and you walk right up in front of all of them. It look like you have crazy. So I'm crossing the street. I'm going to cross the street. Yeah, and they're going to come over there too. But I'm telling you, when you have to have that persona of no fear. That's why sometimes you see people like, why are they always mad? You know why they looking like that? Because they're like, I'm crazy. I'm going to hurt somebody. You start beating yourself. They said, man, that boy crazy. Leave him alone. Leave him alone. But now you walk around there like this. They call, that's another term they call that, a mark. There's a mark there. We're going to get him. And next thing you know, they got your shoes. They got your coat. Nowadays, they got your cell phone and everything else. Okay, now I'm not saying y'all just look for trouble. I'm trying to tell y'all that when there's a certain, well, you know what? The same thing in a spiritual sense. You walk out there, Satan look at you, he's checking you out. Yeah. Oh, they're shaking. Come on, boys, let's go after them. When you walk out there and you actually have confidence, you believe that the Holy Ghost of God is going to help you whoop some demons today. You believe that in your heart and your soul based upon God's word. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I'm going to tell you what, my friends, you're going to be having some victories take place in your life. But the enemy wants us to have fear of failure. Well, let's move. Let's move to realizing what we need to do. We face fear of failure is to put our trust in the Lord and we shall succeed. And I'll have my boxing glove. I think that in my car. But what we got to do is put our boxing gloves on. And now you know what we need now? We need what I want to call some knockout verses. Some because the Bible does say take the sword of the Spirit, which is what? Okay, let's go to Ephesians. All right, here we go. Yeah. I'm trying to get done, so I can go home and eat. But listen to what it says. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Look what the Bible says. Ephesians chapter 6. That we need to know this verse. Ephesians chapter 6. And look down at verse number. Let's go to verse 16. The Bible says, above all, before all, taking the shield. That's Ephesians 6, verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And here it is. And take the helmet of salvation and, connecting, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So we need the Word of God, which is our sword, to fight the enemy. So let me give us some swords, okay? Let me give us some knockout verses. Run with me over to Numbers 23 and verse number 19. Numbers 23 and verse number 19. Fear of failure does not have to be final. Look at Numbers 23 and look at verse number 19. The Bible says this, God, hallelujah, is not a man, praise God. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man, that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? For he has spoken, and shall he not make it good? I like that. Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed. And by the way, I cannot reverse it. Can't nobody reverse the blessings that God has bestowed upon you and I. God ain't no man. He let the Son of Man. God cannot lie. If he said, he gonna back it up. Listen, that's to make us sleep well at night. Whatever God's called you to do, whatever he's tapped you to do, just do it. I'm scared. I understand that. But what we've got to do is do it anyway. In spite of your fear, but you're trusting God to help you to perform that which he has tapped you or called you to do. Run with me to Psalm 37 and verse 5. Psalm 37 and look at verse number 5. Psalm 37 and verse number 5. Psalm 37 and verse 5. The Bible says this in verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust in him. He might. And he shall bring it to pass. Let's break it down, baby. The Bible says, commit thy way. That means roll. Roll your way, roll your road, roll your journey, roll your course of life unto the Lord. Give it over to him. And the Bible says, trust also in him. In other words, if you give it to him, trust him with it. Now that's easier said, Sister Bobby, than done. Here we go. Josh walks into the house. He says to Miss Heather, can I drive the van? My car don't have any gas, and you want me to run to an errand for you. Can I have the keys to the car to drive to get it? She said, I know Josh got his license. I seen it. But now, you want me to trust him with the van? She gives him the keys. And as she gives him the keys, she's still hanging on to the tip of it. She ain't let go yet. He said, Mom, I'll be all right. I know, Josh, but I want you to listen. Look into my eyes. Notice the fire that's on the inside. You don't want to be no more fiery than what it is right now. But I'm going to trust you with it. I'm going to give you the keys. Now you'll be able to know whether she trusts him or not by whether or not she stops him before he pulls out the driveway. But if he gets in there and drive down the street, what she's done then is this. She has not only committed her car way unto Josh, but she's also trusting in Josh to do what Josh said he's going to do. When you take your journey, watch this, guys. When you take your journey, your road, your life, and give it over to God, and now you trust him to take care of your life and to guide your life and to direct your life. And the Bible says, if you and I do that, the Bible says, and he shall bring it to pass. Those words, bring it to pass, means to accomplish it. But what happens sometimes is we'll start by giving him a life. Here you go, Lord. Okay, Josh has got the keys. He's walking out the door. Whoa! Let me get them back. I'm not ready yet. Okay, here you go. Wait a minute, give me no more. And that's how we do with our life sometimes. Here it is, Lord. Wait a minute. Whoa. Lord says, just give it over to me. I'm going to accomplish it. I'm going to do some good things with your life if you give it over to me. But are you going to call me to Africa? Listen, we always think God's going to call us somewhere. There's going to be some, you know, Siberia or whatever, and I'm going to be a hair. Come on. God knows what you are capable of doing and what you're not. By the way, he gives us the power to do it. that'll help us when we have to face fear of failure. Listen, they asked me to preach down there Wednesday night. I was going to preach, and Joe Arthur was preaching after me. Now, and I know some of y'all don't know Joe Arthur, but, I mean, Joe Arthur's like, you know, just talking about Joe Arthur. You know, it's Dr. Joe Arthur. You got Dr. Joe Arthur. You got Dr. Talbot Moore, my pastor. You got Dr. Gary Moore that's sitting over there. There's a whole bunch of them other doctors over there, you know. And y'all know I ain't been to school, right? I ain't doctor nobody, okay? And what happens is you'll be sitting there, and if you start thinking, you'll be like, what am I going to say? They're all doctors. What are you doing sitting up here on the doctor row? You ain't no doctor. You get off that pew and get on back somewhere else. What's wrong with you? And then I could be fearing failure. What if I get up there and I say something that's crazy? But I don't mean to say it. But I say it. And they think I'm crazy. These are real fears. I mean, you can be sitting up there. I mean, I've seen it happen. Guys will get up there and they'll look at all them guys down there and they'll be sitting there. And preachers are some of the funniest creatures. We all want everybody to be going, yeah, preacher, yeah, yeah, preach, preach. But when somebody else is preaching, most of the time all the preachers, they'd be just sitting there. They'd just be sitting there. I'd be like, what if you was up there? What would you want somebody to do? You know, they'd just be sitting there, be like, oh, I'm just listening, you know. But then sometimes your mind be like, you know, they probably say, he's an idiot. He's crazy. What is he talking about? But you know what you have to do? I like my pastor says. My pastor, he'll get up and he'll say, there'll be a whole bunch of preachers out there and whoever's coming up to preach, he said, listen, I know there's a lot of good preachers out there and all that kind of stuff. You may say, what is that guy doing come up here? He said, you know what? He's God's man for this hour. He's got the message that we need to hear. And you have to get up and say, you know what? God gave me this message to deliver. He wants me to give this message out. By the way, when it comes time for you to sing that song, you look out there. It's all there in the spirit. Listen. The first time I actually played a guitar. Now, y'all do know I can't play. First time I played a guitar in church. I don't know if you remember this or not, Pam. It was your guitar. I had just been messing around with it. And my dad's at the church. Oh, he can play. He can sing. Let him play. I'm like, I can't play. Come on up here. I was about 10 years old. I come up there and I got the guitar, you know, and there's a go. I grabbed the guitar. We ain't got no regular. I still play it the same way I played it. I grabbed that guitar and I started singing, down by the river, down by the river, down by the riverside. And that's just how I played it. And man, I started crying. It's, oh, bless him, Lord, bless him. Down by the river, down by the river, down by the river. I mean, I was mad. I was like, man, I can't play this thing. But I was going to play it and get whipped one. And I'd say, listen. But sometimes, and I failed. But I survived. Survived. And we learn from things like that. The first time I played the keyboards was on Tuesday out of necessity. But I played on Tuesday. I play chords. That means there's three, okay? So if I'm playing here, if I hit over here and that's wrong, I can just zip back over here, you know? But if I try to play like Brother Jesse Craig, I can play some of them songs. I can do all that kind of stuff. No, back up. I can't play like Jesse. I'm saying some songs I can play with the different, you know, the different keys and stuff. But if I got ready to play in front of everybody, they have to look at it at y'all, then I'll be, what's next? I don't know. You'll be like, broom. But in spite of my fear, I'm trusting God to help me. Let me give you this. We're done. We'll be done. We see where we left off at Psalms 37:5. But look at Luke 18, verse 27. Luke 18, verse 27. Luke 18, verse 27. It's a familiar verse. We're going one more verse and we're done. Look at Luke 18, verse 27. The Bible says this in Luke 18, verse 27. The Bible says, well, can we get back where we're going? 18, 27. The Bible says this. And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. My dear friends, with God, all things are possible. Now let's flip back over to Proverbs 24 and we'll be done. So, Proverbs 24, verse 15 and 16. I didn't pick that verse for no reason. The Bible says this, and verse number 16. This is the part of verse we normally know of. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. That word just means righteous. The word falleth means to fail or to fall or to be cast down or to fail. He says, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. That means to stand. So, okay. Here's our question. Why is he even saying that? Because of verse 15. The Bible said in verse 15, lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place. For, because a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. The three words, lay not wait, means this, ambush. I was like, wow, lay up wait, ambush. He says, lay not wait or don't ambush, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. That word dwelling means his home. He says, lay not, don't ambush, O wicked man, the dwelling or the home of a righteous man, that don't spoil his resting place. That means to ruin or to destroy his resting place. And I'm going to tell you why. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. Hey, you might ambush him. You might destroy his place. He might be down, but I want you to understand, he'll get back up. No matter how much you knock him down, he's getting back up. He's getting back up. So therefore, don't even ambush him. In other words, you're wasting your time. Because he's going to get right back up. Who is the righteous man? The person who is trusting God Almighty as his God. Because the Bible says we don't have any righteousness except for the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in other words, this. You're saved, blood bought, and born again. You may fall seven times. By the way, look at the word seven times there. It also means an infinite number. You may fall down many times, but you can get back up again. And you can learn from your failings. You can learn from your fallings. But you'll never learn if you don't get back up and stand again. You may fail, but stand again. Don't raise your hands. But I know there's folks in here today that went and took a driver's test. And the first time you took it, you didn't pass. You failed. But did it stop you? Listen to that, though. Some people that stopped. Some people went again. Because you can go again. Well, I might fail again. Going back again. Because you can go again. And what are you doing? You try to remember, and in some cases they let you know what you messed up on. And you say, you know what? Now I know where I failed at. I know where I stumbled at. So now I'm going to learn from that. I'm going to pass this test. And you pass that test. Now you driving down the road smiling. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. What are you saying? The fear of failure can stop us from going forward. But we can use failure to help us to go forward. But that choice is up to us. Father, thank you for your many blessings. And of course, Father, the time could no way, Lord, be given to expound on such a vast subject. But I do pray, God, that in these few moments, in these few minutes, that we were helped to realize that, yes, we are going to be challenged with the fear of failure. But we can use failure to go forward. And we'll go forward when we get back up and get back in the battle. Father, I pray that some folks who want to talk to you about this, these matters of the heart tonight, they would come. Or perhaps, God, they want to talk to you about other matters of the heart, other concerns that have nothing to do with the message. I pray, God, they will come tonight. I pray, God, you help each of us in that particular spot, that particular place that we might be in, that we need your help. And for that, Father, we'll thank you. And of course, if there's one here tonight that's not sure if they died today, that they will go to heaven, but they want to be sure, I pray, God, they come to me or someone else in this building that they have confidence in, and we will show them in the Word of God how to know. But God, whatever the case is, whoever you're talking to come, just come on and get the strength and the help that we need. Have your way, Father. We've heard the songs and the sermon. Now it's time to respond. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Perhaps you need to come and talk.